Ole Miss is an annual hotspot for summer fun in the sun, from days on the lake to the endless festivals and concerts in and about town. Make sure you've dressed the part with a pair of handmade quality first wear comfort boots from Tecovas. Tecovas boots come in a timeless Western style that can elevate any casual look or add a refined flair. The best way to shop for boots is at a local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Or visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Stay cool in a short-sleeve moisture-wicking pearl snap. Make your own shade with one of Tecovas' classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. Tecovas has those perfect boots waiting for your summer of style. Visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas, a proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network. I finally quit smoking years ago. What a breath of fresh air. However, it wasn't until recently when I discovered Zippix toothpicks that I was finally able to curb my nicotine cravings forever. And trust me, I tried everything. Vaping, dipping. Zippix toothpicks are simply a cleaner and more convenient and discreet way to get the job done, and they're available in 6 great and long-lasting flavors. They're perfect for Ole Miss football games, flights, or pretty much everywhere else smoking and vaping are banned. And Zippix toothpicks offers options with up to 3 megs of nicotine. It's finally time to give your lungs a break and start anew. Give Zippix toothpicks a try today at ZippixToothpicks.com. You'll get 10% off at checkout if you use code TOC for Talk of Champions. That's promo code TOC at checkout for 10% off your order. Must be 21 or older to order. Warning, nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zip more and smoke less with Zippix toothpicks. A proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network.
The capital of the sports talk nation. This is Jocks 94.5 and JocksFM.com. Birmingham.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Great conversation there about just national champions, national championship winning coaches potentially that haven't done it yet. Maybe who's going to be next, what it would take for him to be next. And one of those coaches that we brought up was Lane Kiffin in position. Maybe right there staring down the barrel of being next in line to get his first national championship with only 3 active head coaches that have one. Ben Garrett covers Ole Miss. He joins us now on the Buyer's Right Hotline. Ben, we also talked about this Ole Miss schedule now that the TV times have been announced. And there are a couple of things that are interesting. I'm interested from your perspective. Any ounce of confidence in what Ole Miss is capable of doing this year lost by you when you saw the actual times of these kickoffs that came out yesterday for Lane Kiffin's schedule?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. I always enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, there was nothing that moved me at all from my expectations for Ole Miss in 2024. I mean, actually, I think, if anything, if there were some people on the fence, it adds a little bit more fuel to the hype train. Because they get their 4 non-conference games out of the way before September is over. You get 2 bye weeks, in the heart of your expanded SEC schedule. You get 2 early kicks before the critical showdown with Georgia that could decide whether or not you go to Atlanta. I think 2024, if it wasn't already viewed by everybody, I know in-house it was, but if it wasn't viewed from the outside in as an all-in proposition for Ole Miss, certainly that was reinforced, I think, once the schedule was rolled out officially.
How would you assess the way things have kind of fallen into their lap with the way some of these game times work? Like, I think they kind of got dealt a bit of a short end of the stick. Not that it's unfair. I just feel like it's a bit unfortunate the way things are going to work out for them. So do you feel like there was any frustration within the facility with the early kick times that they were selected for yesterday?
See, that's the thing. I mean, I think, like, writ large in the college football community, most of us view early kicks as a disadvantage or an advantage to the road team coming in. I think that's kind of an antiquated way of looking at this for Ole Miss's perspective. If you look at the numbers, 11 a.m. kickoffs have been really good to them. So I don't think Ole Miss is going to really sweat the early kicks or anything like that, because one, they've been successful, and two, like I said, it leads those 2 weeks, those back-to-back early kicks lead directly into that Georgia game. And I know that it's just one day, and it's not like they're going to get like 30 extra minutes to prepare just because they kicked off earlier. But it just, the way game day, it kind of flows on an early kick, they'll be done so early that they can just roll right into an off day and then into game week for Georgia. So, I just don't think Ole Miss is all that concerned about it. And like I said, I mean, early kicks, we all would enjoy a late kick in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium with under the lights, of course. I think all fans would prefer it. But I think one thing for Ole Miss is that 11 a.m. kick, I think of the Kentucky game when Jared Ivey recovered a fumble, against Will Levis. I mean, that was the most recent. I remember those Jefferson Pilot games, and Ole Miss would win against Vanderbilt on a 50-yard field goal, for God's sake. So 11 a.m. kicks, most people hate them. I know fans hate them, but from a results standpoint, Ole Miss has actually had some real success with them. So I think Ole Miss isn't worried about it all that much.
Ben Garrett joining us on the Buyer's Right Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, @SpiritBen. Covers Ole Miss for the On3 Sports Network. I'm interested to get your thoughts on the running back position. Ulysses Bentley back in the system. He's played. Henry Parris comes in via transfer. He's been there before. A lot of folks know who he is, know what he's about. But there are other backs that are coming in as well. Logan Diggs, we don't know when he's going to be available. Could be a while before he's actually there. But then Rashad Amos comes in from Miami, a guy that has been productive, that has played. You get another running back in for New Mexico State that Greg and I love, the ability that he's got. And what's the rotation going to look like? Why is Lane stacking so many backs going into this season when your team that's going to use tempo at times, guys going to get trapped in the game? How many do you expect to actually be a factor for this roster this season?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's the most obvious, roster question that any casual fan out there would probably have right now. It's like, man, what are they doing with all these running backs? Well, first of all, Quinshon was making an inordinate amount of money, or exorbitant amount of money, probably more than the market value for running backs in 2024. So once that negotiation led to a place where it was a breakup, they reallocated that money for needs. I mean, they landed two top 10 transfers on the defensive line in Walter Nolan and Princeton Umon Mielen. Chris Poupaul was the number one linebacker in the portal. Chiefs Wells was the number one wide receiver. They were able to take that money because they showed the commitment to Quinshon, and, it just didn't work out. Stuff like that happens, and now he's an Ohio State Buckeye, but they were able to allocate that sizable amount of money and distribute it more evenly to plug holes in an already solid roster. So when that came to running backs, number one, Ja'Cory Merritt, who you're talking about from New Mexico, he's back at Arizona. Some of his transfers or his credits couldn't transfer to Ole Miss, was my understanding. Dominic Thomas from Georgia State, they like him a lot, potentially as a change of pace. Ulysses Bentley is the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, according to Pro Football Focus. And even though Quinshon was Quinshon, he set a single season record for rushing yards in Ole Miss history. He's a forever legend here, even though he played 2 years. Ulysses Bentley fit Ole Miss offensively a little bit better as far as what they do, because Quinshon is a between the tackles runner. I think we can all agree to that. And like Cole was kind of hinting to, I mean, this is a team that, loves to go fast. They love to play tempo. They love to do pace and space. So I don't think that, losing Quinshon, and I don't mean in any disrespect to him, is going to really have any effect on how they operate, especially for 2024. Because like you said, with Merritt's at Arizona, but Dominic Thomas is a good reserve guy. They love Henry Parrish, who they think will be a great 1B to Ulysses Bentley for this year specifically. And then Logan Diggs, I don't expect him back until 2025, honestly, as he recovers from an injury. So it's not as if Ole Miss is compiling all the running backs. It's just, with the way the wildness of the market these days and how to construct a roster, it just fell that way. It's coincidental, and it looked like they were just basically buying up all the running backs. But actually, it's just they had to restart on the room outside of Ulysses Bentley, and I think now they finally settled on what that room actually is.
What do you make of the defensive improvements? You mentioned some of the transfers already in Princely Umon Mielen and Walter Nolan. Obviously, additions at the second and third level as well. How likely is it that this team can kind of transform into a legitimate top 20 defense? I mean, is that the expectation for this group collectively?
See, I don't see why it can't not be, because of the quality of the talent returning and the quality of the talent added through the transfer portal and also in the high school ranks. But I think high school impact has been devalued, obviously, through the transfer portal. So, but Ole Miss did sign the number one player in the state in Cam Franklin, along with the other two of the three best defensive linemen in Mississippi, landing Jeffrey Rush, for example, who's going to be a stud, and William Meckles, who they absolutely love and were on before anybody else. But as far as defensively, it's not just, you know, the big ticket guys. It's not just Walter Nolan and Princely, who were top 10 according to own three, but also, like I mentioned, Chris Poupaul was the number one linebacker. And then it's in the margins where some of their really impressive additions have gotten lost. Isaiah Hamilton, everybody wanted from Houston, the cornerback, very highly rated according to play by Pro Football Focus. And then Trey Amos comes over from Alabama, and it's like no one blinked an eye, no one batted an eye. A transfer leaves Alabama to come play at Ole Miss in a contention window. So Trey Amos and Isaiah Hamilton and those two defensive linemen I've already mentioned, not to mention where they've added at the third level with Key Lawrence as well as the safety from Oklahoma. And who's to say they're going to stop adding? Chris Hardy from Jacksonville State, an edge who was all CUSA last year. I mean, he was added a couple weeks ago. So I think top 20 defense is certainly within the realm of possibility. And when you pair it with this offense that you know is going to be high scoring and high octane, as it always is under Lane Kiffin, again, paired with the schedule that we've been talking about, it's hard not to think that Ole Miss could be in for a potentially special season, assuming all things kind of they get some breaks here and there as far as injuries and like you got to have. So it's an exciting time, and I know Ole Miss fans are fired up over here in Oklahoma City.
Ben, you brought up injuries. I discussed Logan Diggs a little bit earlier. You also mentioned, I mean, I thought Juice Wells was the best receiver in the league going into last year. He's dinged up a lot of last year. That was a complicated injury that he had. Just overall, health of guys coming in, health of guys expected to contribute. Are there any updates on any of those players there?
Well, that's the key, Cole. That's the key to me. Because, you know, Juice didn't play in the spring because of the injury you're talking about. And how healthy is he? I mean, that was a very serious injury. He only caught, I can't remember how many passes, but it was 37 yards last year. He was shut down completely. Now, he was a stud in 2022, but you know, his injury, which was one that slows down wide receivers, how can he recover? What does he look like when he comes back? If he is as close as he was to 2022, well, that room is one of the very best in college football. I mean, Trey Harris is Keon Coleman to me in the stats back it up. You know, you look at Jordan Watkins accomplished in this league, returning, putting off the NFL for another year like so many did here, and it's the depth of it. Deion Smith is a transfer from LSU who I think can be an absolute stud. So, yeah, I really like what Ole Miss has put together, and it looks good on paper. But you're right, Cole. I mean, the injury situation, a lot of these guys didn't play in the spring. Another good example, a guy who's in a black jersey, Diego Pounds, who they absolutely love. He's going to play left tackle, guard Jackson Dart's blindside. He's one of the most impactful and next-level stud prospect guys that they added through the portal, and yet he didn't practice in the spring. Now, there's no worry that it's going to be a long-term thing with him or with the Prince Zuman Miela, who had cleanup surgery, or Ulysses Bentley, who had turf toe and missed all of the spring, but Ulysses is now back healthy. He says he's healthy and he's good to go, but until you actually see it, you know, there's always that, well, it looks good, but you just have to see it all kind of come together. And like I mentioned with Logan Diggs, I just don't expect him to play at all this year, but maybe he will, and if he does, That would be obviously a boost to that running backs room with Ulysses and Rashad Amos and all those other guys I've talked about. So, yeah, I think that, you know, looking up and down this roster, this is one of the most impressive, or at least one of the best two deeps, I think, in college football for 2024. And it's because Ole Miss is all in for 2024. Now, because in 2025, you go, oh, wait a second, they're losing everybody, right? And so this year's a big year. And I think everybody knows it, and it's exciting because Ole Miss has never been on the precipice like this in the modern era, like truly on the precipice. Everyone, not just everyone in the room or in the building or in Oxford, Mississippi, taking their contention window seriously, but all you guys too, because they are one of the better teams roster-wise in the country, and I think they know it too, and it's not national championship or bust for them. Anything less than a college football playoff appearance at least is a failure. So it's an exciting time for sure.
Absolutely. Ben, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking the time. Great stuff as always. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Anytime, brother. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Ben Garrett, talking Ole Miss on the Buyer's Right Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Spirit Ben. We talked about that playoff run, getting into the postseason. Like, how healthy would you be? Imagine a big physical back like Logan Diggs that all of a sudden you add week 10, week 11, have him for a game or two to get juiced up, and then you could lean on him a little bit in the playoffs, and you hadn't seen him all year, so there's some different things you could do. Yeah, that's something to just kind of watch for Ole Miss this entire year that maybe could be added that could be a little bit different for them.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.